Our Father and our King, thank you for bringing us together as your church this morning. Father, thank you for giving us the opportunity to worship this morning. Lord, we thank you for all that you've been doing. It's the month of March already. Thank you for bringing us through January till this point. Father, we appreciate all that you're doing, even the things that we're not aware of. Father, we say thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Please, let's be seated for a moment. Good morning, good morning. I was just mentioning to someone that it's been 3 weeks since I was here, and it seems like such a long time away. So I wasn't here for two Sundays, even though last Sunday we were all not here. So I think I need to get back into it a bit. All right, so really excited to see everybody. I think I saw some of us in London last week, so that was really good. I think the thing that happens with me is, no matter where I am, I'm always thinking about you guys. So the Sunday that I wasn't here, I was like, what would they be doing at this church service now? Would they be doing praise and worship now? Would they be preaching now? Would they be looking at the snacks at the back and saying, please finish the service in time so I can eat the cake at the back? So really, I always have you guys in my heart all the time. So this month we're starting a new series, and the series that I've called it, Surely There Is More to My Life Than This. I think over the past few months, we've been using these really catchy phrases. So you have to excuse me when I, you know, make all these, pick all these phrases. I think there was one that we did a few months ago called, How Did I Get Here? Which one did we do last month? Let me see. What did we do last month? Sorry? Does my life matter? So you guys are listening. Yes, yes. So this month, it's Surely There Is More to My Life Than This. Now, today is Mother's Day. Let's give the mothers and all the women a shout this morning. Excuse me. I hope you noted how they clap for the women and mothers. When it's fathers, they only hear like a proper one as well. I don't want that British, okay. So just note that. So today, I'm going to be looking at this in the context of Mother's Day. Surely there's more to my life than this. So I'm going to look at it from two angles. Probably an angle that you're not expecting today. Then next week, we'll switch back to the actual proper angle that I was actually thinking about. So, talking about mothers, I'm going to be talking about a woman in the Bible today and motherhood. So, the first thing I just wanted to mention in introducing this topic is, I think we need to really celebrate mothers. You need to celebrate your mom if they're around. You need to celebrate other women that are going to be mothers to be as well. And I think that's something that is quite important that we do. Now, why is it important that we celebrate mothers? And I'm so happy that at least in the whole world, we still pick out a day and say, this is Mother's Day. So that's a really good one. But what I've realized in reflecting is that as the years have gone by, it appears that the concept, I use that word concept, and the concept of motherhood is slowly diminishing. And I'll explain what I mean by that. Now, in the advent of the rise of feminism in the States, and mostly in the States, and now filtering into other parts of the world from the 60s, women began to say, well, we are equal to men, we should have our rights and all those things. And I totally agree with all those things. Women should, if you're a woman and you're doing the same job as a man, you should be paid the same thing. Women should be respected. Women should have the same opportunities that men have. So women should not be discriminated against. So when the feminists are saying those sorts of things, I agree with them totally. However, where I begin to disagree a bit is where feminism and popular culture begins to undermine the importance of motherhood. That's where I disagree with that. And what do I mean by that? I'm going to be a bit American here this morning. And I think I don't know if I was watching like a program once. And there were these three black American women, quite young, maybe in their 30s, and we're talking. And I think one of them was a friend, there were three of them. One of them was a friend of one, and the other one had just met the other one. So they were talking. And it was like, they were asking each other, what do you do? And this one says, hey, hi girl, what do you do, my girl? She said, well, I do X, Y, and Z. I work in the city. I work in this establishment. The other one says, oh, what do you do, girl? And she's like, oh, I've got my business. I'm running this. It's really making, you know, a lot of money. And the other one now goes, okay, so what do you do? What do you do, girl? She's like, I'm a stay-at-home mom, and I look after my kids. And it's like, really, girl? Is that all you do, girl? You just stay at home with your kids and that's it? You just stay at home? Is that all you're going to do with your life? Just look after kids and all that? Oh, man, girl, you're missing out. You're missing out. Let me come back to my British before they say Pastor Benson has deflected. So what you see in that context is this. Popular culture is now saying being a mother and looking after children is something that is almost disdainful. It is not a big deal. Is that all you're going to be doing? So it brings me to this question for today, where women, I believe, some mothers are now faced with this question because of these kinds of concepts that they might not be aware of. And the question now becomes, surely there has to be more to my life than looking after these children. Surely there has to be more. Do you understand what I'm saying? So we need to look at a number of things about motherhood today, because today is Mother's Day. And we want to really look at the fact that, okay, should we really be asking that question of ourselves should women or mothers be asking themselves that question? Should mothers be made to feel that there has to be more than they're doing with regards to looking after their kids? Should mothers be in the position where they feel that their life is in a jam? Their life is not moving. Why? Because they have dedicated time to raising their kids. Is that where our women and mothers should be? I don't think so. I definitely do not think so. So, I'm going to be looking at a woman in the Bible today, and I'm going to make a few points. And the point I want to make really here is to look at what mothers go through sometimes and begin to reflect on the depth of the seriousness and the weight of motherhood. So that as a woman, if you're here and you have children, or you're here, you're going to have children later, or maybe you don't even have children of your own, you're like an auntie who has responsibility for other children, or you participate or contribute to the lives of children that might not be your own, this applies to you. So it doesn't necessarily mean that you're a physical mother before this thing applies. There's certain things I want to highlight which pertain to motherhood. And I'm going to take my reading from the book of Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. It's a long read. So the woman that we're looking at this morning is Mary, the mother of Jesus. This woman is such an outstanding woman. And reading the story of Jesus and the life of Jesus and all that, there are certain things that you might not have noticed about this woman. But we'll highlight some of those things. So we can begin to see that motherhood is not a joke. And we need to really appreciate our moms. Amen. 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 All right. So I'll read Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38 as the main text. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. So, we probably have read the story before. But this story is loaded with a number of things that might not be apparent to us. The angel comes to David, to Mary and says, "You are blessed and you're highly favored." Man, I love that part. Yeah, I can have that. He now begins to say that you're going to conceive. And Mary says, "Hang on, how is that going to happen? Because I'm a virgin." I mean, he says, "Well, the Holy Spirit will overshadow you and you will have a child." And at the end of that conversation, Mary said, "Be it unto me according to your word." King James Version. This one says, she said here, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." All right? So the first thing we see about Mary here is this. She embraced motherhood wholeheartedly. She had no experience of being a mother. She hadn't read books on it. I don't think they were selling 10 steps to be a great mother in the future. I don't think she had gone on YouTube to say, "When you're a mother, these are the things that you..." She absolutely had no clue. But she embraced it. That's the first thing we see about this woman. Now, the second thing is, she embraced it with great risk. Why do I say she embraced it with great risk? I'm going to read Leviticus chapter 20, verse 10. To paint the picture of the culture of that time. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 10. It says, "If a man commits adultery with another man's wife and with the wife of his neighbor, both the adulterer and the adulteress are to be put to death." You're like, "Man, isn't that harsh?" Well, that was how it was. So in those days, if you were not in the culture of Israel, if you were not married and you had an affair with someone, or even if you were married and you had an affair with someone, the punishment was death. Death. So when Mary embraced motherhood, she signed her death warrant. Because who was going to believe her? I mean, she comes out with a big tummy, and her parents are saying, "Mary, what happened to you? Who is responsible for this? And he says, you know, the Lord appeared to me and sent an angel and I became pregnant. Come on. Do you know what they'll say? They'll say, Mary, you must think we're really fools, right? You must think we're gullible. You are kidding me. The Holy Spirit came on. Which Holy Spirit came on you? You? You're not even a member of any, you don't even go to church regularly. I mean, we read it now, and we can understand because we have the full story. But you can imagine how this girl felt in those days. So, not only did Mary embrace motherhood, the second point we see about Mary here is this. She embraced it with the possibility of great risk and death. So when we have all these Christmas plays, and they're showing, you know, in December, and the children are singing, Mary, the angels came. Sorry, I won't sing for a long time. If you laugh at my singing, I'll tell you to stand up. I have to do more. And we're singing, oh, what a wonderful Christmas, Mary and her baby. And we're all singing and eating chocolate and all those things. Meanwhile, that wasn't Mary's mood at that time. Mary's mood was, I'm finished. How am I going to tell people? Are they going to drag me out into the street and kill me? What are people going to say about me? They're going to say, I've gone to mess about. So that was Mary's mood. But the thing is this, nobody forced it on Mary. She chose it. If she had told the angel, sorry, I can't do this, I'm not with this, I can't put my life at risk, who's going to believe me if I said it's just a supernatural virgin birth? And if she had said that, God would have left her alone. Do you understand? God would have left her alone. But she embraced the possibility of death. Do you understand? The third point is this. Let's even say she escaped the possibility of death, as she did. How about the third point? How about her fiancé? How about her husband? How about her fiancé? I mean, can you imagine? You're engaged to someone. You've taken them to your parents. Everybody's excited. They're preparing for the wedding. And it's like, you know, your fiancé now says, oh, by the way, I was visited by the Holy Spirit and voila, I'm pregnant. The guy would have been so disappointed. But you know what, still? At the risk of losing the person she loved, her fiance, at the risk of not even getting married and becoming an outcast somewhere, at the risk of the love she had for her fiance, she still chose motherhood. Do you understand? She still chose, and I use that word chose. It wasn't forced on her. She still chose motherhood over. Let me not say over. She chose motherhood at the risk of losing her relationship and the person that she loved so much. And the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 1, verse 19, it says, because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet he did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her secretly. So Joseph was a really good man. He said, okay, this story that you're telling me, it's too much for me to handle. But I love you, but I cannot deal with this. What I'm going to do, I don't want them to kill you. Let's just break this stone gently. You go to one place, I go to one place. If anybody asks me what happened, I'll just say, yeah. So we begin to see a woman that understood the importance and the weight of motherhood. She embraced it fully. At the risk of death, she said, I will still embrace motherhood. My view of motherhood will not change at the risk of death. At the risk of misunderstanding for the man I love so much, I still choose motherhood. So there was loss all around, threat of loss all around. But she still chose motherhood. She still chose motherhood. Now, I have a few more points to make, but why am I making this point? I'm making this point because the psyche of modern pop culture undermines motherhood to the point where it is seen as a liability. In a minute, we will begin to see the importance of motherhood that I believe Mary understood, and she made this choice to have Jesus as a, you know, to have this child. We'll see the effects of it. But this was someone who did not buy into popular culture. Do you understand? Because she understood the importance of motherhood. Now, don't get me wrong. Am I saying that women should not further their careers? Am I saying that women shouldn't pursue to be, pursue a career and all that? I'm not saying that. Women should, because women are gifted as well. But what I am saying is this. I think my point is this, that we should not undermine the value of motherhood. It doesn't have to be one or the other. It doesn't have to be, well, a woman focuses on other things to the exclusion of motherhood. It can be both. Do you understand? So we're looking at motherhood today and why I believe we should celebrate our mothers. Celebrate all the moms, because women go through a lot. They go through a lot. So we see this woman who embraced motherhood in the first point. We see a woman who, at the risk of death, still embraced it. We see a woman who, at the risk of being misunderstood, still embraced motherhood. Do you understand? Now, the fourth point is this. She now has Jesus, she has the child, she's excited. But as life progresses as well, we begin to see some of the things that mothers face when it comes to their children. Fathers probably face this as well, but I think mothers the more. As the fourth point, endured the anxiety that mothers have concerning their children. Luke chapter 2, I'll read verses 4 to 6. Luke chapter 2, verses 43 to 46, and then verse 48. After the festival was over, his parents were returning home. The boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it, thinking that he was in their company. They traveled on for a day, then they began to look for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting amongst the teachers, listening to them and asking questions. Verse 48, when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." So the fourth thing we see is that fathers as well, but mothers so, they deal with the anxiety of their children. Has this child eaten? What is going to become of this child? Has this child got clothes to wear? Did they have a school? Did they have, what's this child going to eat? Did this child have school lunch? And you see mothers constantly dotting over their children. Fathers do it as well, by the way, but I believe mothers so. So mothers have a unique response, they have a unique thing about them. I remember when we were in West London, we lived in West London there about, I think probably about 10 years ago. And at that time, we were going to the headquarters church of this church in London. It was in the southeast of London. And on Wednesdays, they used to have like Bible study, Thursdays prayer meetings and all that. So on the Wednesdays for the church in London, I would go to the Bible study from work because my job was in the city of London. So what that meant was that I would take the train to the church, do the Bible study, then I would now go back to West London. And I would often get back to West London about after midnight because Bible study and all that will finish maybe, I don't know, 10, 10:30. The train, from one train to the other, I'll now finally get home past 12 on Wednesdays when I was in London. But that's not the point I want to make here. So I think my family, they were used to it. Sometimes they would come to London as well, but not all the Wednesdays. So they knew that, look, Dad will be back whenever they've gone to bed. So this time my mom came. She came to spend some time with us for about a couple of weeks. And this particular Wednesday, I got back from church. And it was about past 12. You know, by now I'm like in my 40s. Was I in my 40s? Well, almost. You know, I was like a grown adult with kids. And I entered the house. And it was my mom in the living room. I said, Mom, why are you awake? What's up? She said, oh, I was just waiting for you to come back. I was like, you were waiting. But they told you that I'll be coming from. She said, yes, yes, but she just said, let her just wait for me to come back. Do you get what I mean? So, we need to really celebrate our mothers. I saw my mom a couple of weeks ago when I traveled about 2 weeks ago. So, my mom, we speak like every weekend. If I don't call her, she calls me on a Saturday. And we talk, but I hadn't seen her for about 2.5 years physically. So, and I now said, look, Mom, I'm coming to pay you a visit. And she was now like, yeah, when you come, I'm going to cook 3 different types of dishes for you. So when you arrive from the airport, you have 3 things to choose from. I said, Mom, I can only eat one. One's enough. She said, no, forget that. 3. Then I got home and all that. Then the next day, we were talking, and I was in my room that I grew up in when I was like a teenager. And I was talking with my mom, and my mom began to tell me off. She said, why? She said something like, how much? Okay, so this is a really funny one. She said, the taxi guy that brought you home, the Uber guy, how much did you pay him? I was like, I just paid him enough. He said, make sure, I hope you didn't pay him too much money. I was like, in my room, she sat there. She said, how much did you, tell me how much you paid him. I didn't want to like, I said, look, I hope you didn't pay him too much money because, you know, I was like, Mom, calm down. Then I think she now realized that, hang on, this guy is not that 10-year-old. And I was just laughing. So what am I saying here? The fourth point is that moms still, irrespective, have this concern about us. So we need to celebrate our mothers, all mothers, and not join with popular culture to undermine the value of motherhood. Do you understand? We should not join with popular culture that says it's no big deal. Isn't it just having a child? What's the big deal? There is a big deal. So I'm going to make the last point here. So I've said the first point, she embraced motherhood. The second one, she put her life at risk for motherhood. She faced the misunderstanding of her husband. The fourth thing I mentioned is that, like most moms, she always had Jesus in mind, and when they were looking for him and didn't find him, she was quite anxious about that. Now, the final part I want to say here, and it is one that is really important. One thing about Mary was this. Anytime they were talking about the future of Jesus, she always pondered it. She always pondered it. What do I mean by that? I'm going to read a portion of scripture, Luke chapter 2, verses 15 to 19. Luke chapter 2, verses 15 to 19. Jesus had just been born. Angels appeared to some shepherds, and they said, the Messiah has been born. These shepherds now come to the house where Jesus is at. He says, when the angels had left them, the shepherds, and gone to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread word concerning what they had been told about a child. It says, all who heard were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in their heart. So we see this characteristic of Mary, that she was concerned about the future of Jesus, the prophetic future of Jesus. She wasn't just concerned about did he go to school today and did he have school lunch? She wasn't just concerned about, okay, Jesus is well looked after, he hasn't bruised his leg or anything. Beyond that, she was pondering, and I believe she was praying that the prophecy and the mission that Jesus came to do on earth would be fulfilled. So mothers also have this thing in them where they're constantly thinking about the future of their children. What is this child going to become? What kind of individual is this child going to become? If it's a mother that is a Christian and that is like really prophetic, it's like, what is the destiny of God on the life of this, my child? So the fifth point we see about mothers is this. The propensity to think about and to expect that the plan for God's life, for God in the life of their children comes to pass, is uppermost on their minds. What is this child going to be? Will this child achieve this? What do I need to do to make this, to help this child? So we need to celebrate mothers. I remember a long time ago when this was like years and years ago, and I was in North London then, a young guy. I didn't live in England then, I just came to visit. And suddenly I saw these young girls. I think I must have been about 17 or 16. And I saw these young girls in North London, about the same age as me. Loads and loads of them with buggies, pushing babies. And you saw all these little girls with children. And I was like, where are the dads of all these children? Nowhere to be found. Nowhere to be found. And these moms, these young girls, were the ones slaving over these children. They were the ones doing all these things that I've talked about. Now, obviously, I'm not saying that if you're not married, you should go and have children as a girl. I'm not saying that's the right way. But let's even assume that they've landed themselves in that situation. They're still mothers anyway. Do you understand? They're still mothers. Irrespective of how they landed in that situation, they're still mothers. And we need to appreciate every single mother, irrespective of how they got there. Why? Because like I mentioned in these 5 points, in the case of Mary, she embraced motherhood at the risk of death, at the risk of losing her love relationship, bearing all the anxiety of a mother, worrying over their child, and also thinking about the future of Jesus. Would Jesus, what do I have to do so that Jesus achieves his destiny? Do we understand? So I'm going to leave us with these thoughts this afternoon as we celebrate mothers. So that anytime we see a woman that's a mother, or like I mentioned, anyone who has responsibility for a child in this capacity, we need to, in our hearts, really appreciate them and not think, it's just, what's the big deal? There is a big deal. There is a big deal. So this morning, we're just going to pray. And I want us to rise. We want to pray and really thank God for all our mothers. You know, there are people who have had, maybe in some instances, very frosty relationships with their mom. Maybe they're not on speaking terms or things like that. These things happen, but we still, irrespective, have to be thankful that they went through some of these things for us and we're here today. So that's the first prayer that I want us to like really pray, to really thank God and say, God, thank you for my mom. Thank you for my aunties. Thank you for those who acted in the capacity of being a mother to me. So that's the first thing that I would like us to pray, just to really say a big thank you to God for them. Father, we thank you for what we have looked at in the Bible today about Mary, who showed such an outstanding, such outstanding qualities as a mother. Father, we commit even all our own mothers to you. Lord, we thank you for them. They brought us, they looked after us till we got to this point. Father, we say thank you for them. Father, even so, I thank you for all the mothers that are here and all the mothers to be. I thank you for everyone who has, in one way or the other, in the one form or the other, stood in the capacity of a mom to other people. And I say, Father, thank you for them. Father, I ask that you will help them to be appreciated wherever they are, that people will not look upon them and just disregard motherhood and the part that they have played in the lives of other people in the capacity of being moms. Father, I thank you and I bless you for them this morning in the name of Jesus. And I pray that the same way Mary was concerned about the future of her child, Jesus, the Bible says she pondered everything that was spoken about him. Lord, for every mother that is here, and every mother to be, and everyone that is standing in the capacity of being a mother to someone that they are not even related to, Lord, I ask, this same propensity to, this same desire that looks upon the child, the life of a child, with the expectation that God's will be fulfilled in their lives, Father, I speak it upon each and every one of them that is here in the name of Jesus. That you will look at your child and you will have prophetic revelation about what God wants to do for them in the name of Jesus. That every desire you have for your child will come to pass in Jesus' name. You will have the energy, the patience, and the strength to fulfill your role as a mother in the context of God's child, and in the context of God's plan for your child in Jesus' name. You will not be tired. You will not be weary. You will be strong and you will fulfill everything that God has ordained you to fulfill in the life of your children in the name of Jesus. Even so, I pray for the men as well. Lord, I pray that for every man that is here, that is married or that is planning to marry, Lord, that you will give us the understanding to be able to support our wives in the name of Jesus. That the same way that Joseph was so affectionate towards his wife, the understanding that he had, the support that he gave her, Lord, give every one of us men that heart in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.